attention to this insert. Last month we had one in that had red letters and things on it, but this month, as you can see in the bulletin, there is green going on all over on your inserts. Wonder why. March 17. So here we go. So I wanted to draw your attention to this because each month we're having this new addition to just asking you to pray. Last month we were asking you to pray for the month of February for our brothers and sisters down in Honduras at Iglesia Luz. This month we want to ask you to join together with us, especially praying for the Sierra Leone conference of the United Brethren in Christ over in Sierra Leone. I feel like I'm so loud, but maybe I'm not. Maybe it's good for you, for some. Yeah, so here are four ways. Each week there's a different way that we want to ask you to pray. This past November, we had a team head over there to Sierra Leone and Liberia, and we were connected with a number of different ways that we could really be praying and partnering with our brothers and sisters there. And so this week I want to ask you to be praying for Bishop John Pessima. He travels quite a bit all over that country on some really rough roads and just does a great work there in encouraging pastors and leaders and all other kinds of ministries. And so I ask you to pray for him, and you can read down through that the different ways to be praying. So there's that. Also, I just wanted to take some time here and see if there were any praises or updates amongst the church family that would like to be shared. I see we've got Pam, you're back after a hiatus, and some others. But Pam, what do you have to praise the Lord for? Awesome. Good to see you, Pam. Others, just things we can thank the Lord for this morning that you'd like to express and share. So we do. We want to come back. We praise that. This is Harley. She sounds like she's having a great time. Harley, yeah, she's just thrilled with how things went yesterday because she was the reason we had the rummage sale. Just thank the Lord for her and the joy that she brings to so many here at the preschool and just the opportunity for us to get to be a part of that. Anyone else? Anything else you'd like to share? Just thanking the Lord for. It's good to see you, Susan, and your family as we continue to pray for your family in these days and during your loss. Steve.
I just, a little while ago, diagnosed with prostate cancer. I think a lot of people know that. But my surgery is going to be on Tuesday. So it's a prayer request for there that everything goes fine.
Good. Good. Nice. Yes, B.
Steve and I here are going to be leaving California.
Yep. Yeah, so I did want to mention that. After the service today, I'm going to invite Najee and Eve to come on up front. And anyone who wants to gather around them, they're heading off. Najee's job is taking them out to California for 1 to 2 years. And so they are taking off Tuesday. And that way, we're going to see Eve more than the once or twice a year that Najee plans to make it back this way. We're going to miss them a lot and want to just get around them and pray. And so just encourage you to consider doing that after the service today. But let's pray and let's start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for, God, your blessings in our lives. We thank you for your presence, your faithfulness, your goodness that we've sung of over and over this morning. We've been reminded you've been so good to us. And so we thank you. We thank you for your healing hand. We thank you for God, how you carry us through really challenging and hard times, even in the midst of loss, Lord, that we get to sense peace and comfort in the midst of all of that, because you are our shepherd. You are the good shepherd, and we can trust you each step of the way, even in the lowest of valleys, in the darkest of places. And Lord, we just continue to lift up Susan and Russ and their family, and Chris and Leandra and everyone, Lord, that they would especially sense your presence now. Lord, we turn to your word now, and we ask that you would, that we would hear your voice speaking this morning loud and clear, and that we would, just love you more each day as we go from here. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I told you that Chris and I took a trip down to Texas last week. Did I say? I don't know if I said where we went, but we went to Texas. And one of the spots that we stopped and saw on our trip from San Antonio up to the Dallas area was the Dr. Pepper Museum in Waco, Texas. So, I don't know, someone said, you went to the Coca-Cola place too, didn't you? So, I seem to like to hit the soft drink places. But one of the exhibits was a section about sodas that just didn't make it very long, like Slice was one. Anybody remember Slice? Yeah, Slice. I remember drinking that a lot. There was this one, I don't remember it, but Hubba Bubba. Who drank? Ben, did you just shake your head? Like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I was like, there's no way that you remember that. Hubba Bubba. Who drank that? No one. That's why I didn't make it. Celery soda? Apparently that was special. So, and then there was this other one that if you write it upside down, like here, do we have it? I was reading articles. There. Do we know what this is? Do we remember this soda? Seven Upside Down is what it is. In 2002, I read this, the maker of 7-Up unveiled its new upside down version of the soft drink, an energy drink called whatever, DNL. It was targeted to teenagers and young adults. It's bright green in color, contains caffeine and a blend of different fruit flavors. Vice President of Marketing said this, beginning next week, consumers in cities through the country will begin seeing things from a different perspective. A flipped perspective when they taste DNL. See, 7-Up upside down. Now you see it. So, that's all. You can take it off the screen. They won't hear anything else I say. It says, consumers will be seeing things from a whole different perspective. Wow. Ever had your world turned upside down? I know I have, and I'm sure you have. There have been those things that have turned your world upside down for the good, things that you are so glad that they have entered your life. Like for me, back in the day, there was the Kindle. Whenever that came out, that was like such a blessing, right? Now it's on my phone, and you can carry your whole library around with you, and you don't have to carry a single book. That was a game changer. And then there are those things that you just don't, you wish they'd never happened because they've changed your life, maybe in ways that you had preferred not. Well, Lent started this past Wednesday, and over the coming weeks as we lead up to Easter, we're going to begin working through a series entitled Upside Down. And it's going to be talking all about the difference that Jesus makes whenever he enters, whenever we're following after him, and how everything in our world and our lives gets turned upside down because we've experienced the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so if you're a follower of Christ, I know you know exactly what I mean, because you remember the moment that you went from living for yourself to living for him. You went from the moment, and you remember the moment when you saw the light and everything changed. I remember as a young person, but there was this point in my life where I was reading God's word and it just opened up. I'm like, man, this book knows me better than I even know myself. How does it do that? And everything changed. It's like the scales of my eyes were lifted and I could truly see. Maybe you remember the moment that everything went from living for success, money, fame, influence, those kind of things, to where now all you want to do is you just want to live for the glory of God. And maybe you have all those things and you just want to use those things for his glory. You remember it because everything that once was in your life got flipped upside down. And if you're here and you're checking out what this whole Jesus thing is about, I believe these are some great weeks for you to come and to learn and to maybe gain a better understanding of the difference that Jesus can make in your life. Because Jesus is in the business of changing lives, and nothing compares to how wonderful he is. This morning, my point, it's very simple, it's going to be short, is this. Jesus turns everything upside down. And as we look at this passage, we're going to see that what we thought once was important, and we can even now tend in our everyday lives to think is the most important, isn't the most important. But being in personal and relationship with him and being in his presence is the most important thing. And so turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Just four short verses. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. And it's the familiar story of Martha and Mary that we've come around numerous times before. But this morning, I just thought it was helpful for us as we're here on this first Sunday of Lent to be reminded as to that which is most important. Because if you're like me, life can get busy and life can get hard, and there can be all kinds of things weighing on our heads that I just think I need to do this, this, and this, when the most important thing is to stay present and in Jesus' presence with him. And so here's what Luke writes in verse 38 of chapter 10. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now, I know most of us have heard this story plenty of times, and you've probably gotten the point of it, but what Jesus says here is such an encouragement to us and gives us such a picture as to what it is to follow after Jesus and what is most important there. In verse 38, we're told that Jesus is entering a village. Jesus has come here, and we can't be sure of how many are with him. It seems like there was this group of 72 that we're told of from a previous passage that they were there. It could have been a large group. It could have been a small group. We don't know, and it doesn't really matter, because the story that is told and is set before us here just hones in on this conversation between Martha and Jesus, and we get to see Mary sitting there. What a nice gesture it is whenever he comes and Martha says, "Here, I want you to come on in." That hospitality is there. This culture, hospitality was a big deal. And what Martha does is a wonderful and it's a beautiful thing, and it's what we ought to do, because whenever you're visiting somewhere, isn't it nice to have some good hospitality? And then what happens next is that we're introduced to Mary, Martha's sister, and here we're given a description of Mary and what she does in the rest of this passage and how it contrasts with what we see in Martha. What do we know about Mary? Does Mary say anything? No, she doesn't say anything in this passage at all. We're told that she just sits there at the feet of Jesus and she's listening to him. In verse 40, Martha has been... We're told that Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Here we start to see the issues rise up. And what's up with Martha? Martha, she's a busy lady. She's got a lot to do. She's distracted by all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of serving that needs to be done. We don't know how many people are in the house that she's needing to entertain or feeling that she needs to. Is it wrong for her to want to take care of her guests? What Martha does here in welcoming Jesus into her home and caring for him and desiring to be a good host is a wonderful and it's a beautiful thing. That's what we do today whenever someone's coming over to our house. We had Najee and Eve over on Friday night, and it was like clean the house time, and it was a great thing. And Kristen can get frustrated because I just cleaned this and da da da. Here we are again, but it's a good thing. So that's what we do. There's work to be done. And so Martha is distracted by all that there is to do. And then we get a little bit of a window into the heart of Martha here as she comes over to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve?" Maybe she barges in front of everyone and she makes a scene about it. And can you believe this, Jesus? That she didn't, I don't know if she did that or if she came in and she whispered in his ears, like, Jesus, you know what's going on? There was this thing, is like, come on, Jesus, can't you talk to her about this? And then she, in fact, does say that. Because maybe you can relate to her and you've been there in that place where you're doing and you feel like you're the only one doing any work. You see a need and everyone else sees the need, but you're the only one who's taking out the trash. Or you see this thing that needs to be done at work, but you're the only one who's really going to stop and take the time to do it. And this frustration and this anger, it starts to rise up inside of us. And as this happens, we can find ourselves getting all the more frustrated and all the more angry and feeling more and more right about, boy, am I the only one who does anything around here? And when we get to the point where we think that God doesn't care sometimes, God, why don't you help me out here? Why don't you see what's happening here? And when that happens, we can be sure that our priorities are out of line, because all of Scripture tells us that God cares. He cares so much. And this grows to the point where she then tells Jesus what to do. Tell her to help me. She's already said, Lord, don't you care? And then she tells him, come on, Jesus, this is what you need to do. Who's the guest here? Who's the one that she's doing this all for? Things can get twisted around real easily, and it seems to have gotten twisted around, because now who's this all about? It's about what she's doing. It's not about the guest. It's not about Jesus. Don't you care? She says to him, and then tells him what to tell her to do, and she's lost her focus. That can happen real easy for all of us, can it? Moms, dads, person in the workplace, students, God, why can't you just work things out for me, like such and such or so and so, like my whole future, like there is all this that needs to be done. I'm doing so much. God, why can't you help me out? And Martha was too worried about what others were doing, and in asking Jesus to enter into her complaint, she assumed that her evaluation of Mary's choices and priorities were right. However, Jesus doesn't totally agree with her. He doesn't agree with her in this at all. In verse 41, we're told his answer. And here comes the part where we get to hear from him, and he's the one that really matters, as he responds to Martha in the most loving of ways. And I believe that he totally understands Martha. He gets her. He understands that she wants things to be just right, but she's lost sight of what is truly important. And he says this to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He says, Martha, you've got a lot on your mind. There is a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot that has your attention right now. You're pulled in all kinds of directions to the point where you are so troubled. And I think we can all relate with Martha real easily, right? Put your name in there and just hear Jesus say your name. He's saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. I can say this to Kristen a lot of times. Kristen, Kristen, you're anxious. Or maybe for all of us, like Derek, Derek, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But there's only one person right now that you need to give your attention to as the diagnosis. Verse 42, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Only one thing is necessary. Martha had many things on her mind. Mary had one right now. The most important thing wasn't how much she could serve him, but rather it was she willing to let him do for her what only he could do? What has Mary chosen? And I love that, because this is a choice that we all make. We are going to be busy, and if we're going to miss this, then we're going to suffer. She has chosen to focus on the guest and give him her full attention. Back in verse 39, we're told that she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She doesn't even say a word in this story. But the visual of her sitting there before Jesus is a beautiful picture. And it's a picture for us all as to what it looks like to truly to follow after him. And as to what is most important, it's a picture that is so simple, yet it's so hard for us at times. It's a beautiful picture. And a little bit of an understanding of the day and the culture there just really brings out all the more the force of how important this is. Who is she? She's a woman at Jesus' feet. In that culture, it wasn't a woman's place to sit at the feet of a man and to listen and to learn like this. This is something that other guys would do. And some would probably be looking at Mary, what are you doing? This is not your place. Your place is doing what Martha is doing and let others sit there. But what does Jesus do? Does he say, no, this isn't her place? But he says all the more, she's chosen the right thing, the one thing that is necessary. And he breaks down all the conventional social boundaries where she no longer needs to be on the margins. Anyone is welcome to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. But not only that, but the priority in this culture would have been about hospitality and taking care of the needs of the guests first and foremost. But here she sits at the feet of Jesus, and she has chosen what is best. And in doing so, she has chosen us. She has shown us what is true hospitality. That it's not about doing everything while the guest is there, but it's sitting there and it is listening to and giving full attention to the guest. What's her posture? She's sitting there with an eagerness to absorb whatever Jesus has to say at the expense of a more traditional womanly role that would have shocked many Jewish men. Her posture shows a willingness to learn and in respect for Jesus as Lord. And she's there listening, just listening and hearing. We can talk so much when really all and what is most important is that we listen. So what do we take from this? What does this mean for us this morning as we sit here and what it looks like to have things turned upside down? What is being said isn't that serving and doing stuff isn't important, but what is being said is that spending time at the feet of Jesus is the most important thing. It needs to be the priority. We need to focus on what Jesus says is the needful thing. There is so much work that needs to be done, but all of that needs to flow out of an intimate relationship with Jesus as your Savior. And where we sit before him humbly, listening to his word, spending time in silence and in the quiet before him, listening for his voice. It's so easy to get fixed on all that needs done and to skip that part of spending time with Jesus. I know that. You know that. But if we skip spending time with Jesus, we're going to run out of strength that we need to do what he is asking us to do. And if we aren't even listening to him, then we aren't going to know what he's calling us and leading us to do. There is a lot on Martha's mind. And so this morning I've got to ask you, do you have a lot on your mind? Is there a lot that is just weighing you down, distracting you? Maybe it's disappointments. Maybe it's frustrations. Maybe there's worries. There's all kinds of things stressing you out. And Jesus says, as we are reminded in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in this passage is saying, you're worried and you're anxious about many things. She's choosing, Mary is choosing the most important thing, and it's more of Jesus. Are you a mom? Are you the student? Are you the grandfather, the business person where sales need to be made, bills need to be paid? There's health issues. There is plenty that we can have on our minds. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow after me, you need to come and place yourself at my feet. I mean, this is the gospel, right? Because if you're not a follower of Christ, I want you to know that the gospel is this. It's not about what you do and all your efforts and anything like that, but it's coming and sitting yourself at the feet of Jesus, wholly dependent on him in every single way, because you can't do enough. You don't need to. All you need to do is get yourself at the feet of Jesus and acknowledge him as your Savior. Turn to him in repentance. Admit your sin. Admit your need for forgiveness. And rely on what he has already accomplished at the cross. That's what we remembered this morning as we partake of communion. And let's get ourselves aligned with his plans. Just imagine if we take this time, the difference that it makes in your life. If you made it a priority every single day to sit at his feet and be in his presence. And the question, asking the question of, what do you want me to do, Jesus? What do you want me to do today? Not what can you do for me? It's not about me. It's about you. Imagine what our church would be like if we applied this priority of putting first things first and being a church that was made up of a bunch of people who are pursuing Jesus and wanting to know him more deeply and listening to him, daily hungry to know him more. I believe we'd find a people in love with their Savior, fully trusting in him to give them the strength and all that they need to accomplish the things that he is leading them and calling them to do. It's not about just not about doing too much stuff. It's about taking a break. It's about choosing to spend time with Jesus. In this season of Lent, this last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, the night day before is what? Fat Tuesday? Fastnacht Day. Didn't get my donut this year. I know. And but Lent, what do we think of? A lot of people think of with Lent. Well, I'm giving this up. I'm not going to eat chocolate anymore. And we miss out, like, and we get this whole idea that Lent is about what I'm not going to do, but really the point of Lent and what I want to try to say this morning is that it's all about I want to get more of Jesus. And I want to be with Jesus more. I want to be in his presence more than anything. We want more of him. And so maybe an application for you and for all of us is, are we spending time with Jesus? Are we just starting our day? Are we putting him on the calendar? You're like, I'm so busy, I don't have time. Well, put him on your calendar. You put everyone else on your calendar. Let's put Jesus on your calendar. And maybe it's as you're going throughout your day, it's just continually talking with him and listening to him, like coming out of a meeting, going into a meeting. Lord, help me just to hear your voice and your leading as I go into this meeting, as you come out of that meeting. Jesus, did I say what you wanted me to say here? Lord, as I'm going into this next meeting, this next project, what is it, Lord, that you're calling me to do? Just having that conversation with him. Following Jesus is about one necessary thing, and that is about sitting ourselves at the feet of Jesus. It's about being Christ-centered, not me-centered. Last week we talked about how short life is and why would we want to waste all of our efforts living lives for things that we were never called to and asked to do on our own efforts rather than spending time with the one who leads us to do the things that we really need to do, and he's going to give us everything that we need to do them. That's where it all gets turned upside down. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's about, I didn't have a 7 upside down bottle, but we got this one sitting here. It's about just taking it and like just turning our lives upside down. There's less water. It's about turning our lives upside down, pouring them out before Jesus and saying, Lord, here I am. I'm empty. Fill me up and use me. Let's be like Mary and make the best use of our time and gifts. Let's listen to Jesus and then go do what he says, because everything flows out of that. I invite the team to come on up, and I just want to just end our time together by just spending a little bit of time for us to come before the Lord and saying, Jesus, I want to be where you're at. Being in your presence is the most important thing. Like, we're just going to sing those words. Lord, I can't get enough of you. I want more of you. I want to be where you are. I want us, just for us as a church family, to lift our voices and sing, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I want to sing the psalmist's words where he says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. And he says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And the whole sense of what this passage is saying is that what more could we want than Jesus? And to sit in his feet, because there is nothing like being in his presence. And so just let's bow our heads and let's ask the Lord to, what is it that you're saying to me this morning? How do I apply this in my life?